Welcome to episode 8 of Breaking Espanol. Hola, everyone. Jenny here and my husband, Ben, my co-host and editor extraordinaire.
Hola.
How are you?
Doing well. ¿Y tú?
Bien, bien. Today we have a really great interview for you guys. This is one that I was very interested to do and share as it touches really close to our goals for raising our son. When we were just back in Portland visiting my family, I had a chance to sit down and chat with my cousin Michael. He's 20 and currently attending college, and him along with his sister both were raised through a Spanish immersion program in Portland, Oregon, and starting from kindergarten until they both graduated high school. And I really wanted to know how it had impacted his life.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I was so excited about this. And I haven't heard the interview yet, so I'm excited to hear how it went. But just knowing your cousins and knowing Michael and everything was really, it's really, you know, interesting to hear what it was like. Because I don't even know how the immersion program works. Is it half day, full day? What are the details of that? So I'm excited to hear it.
And I think when we had first talked about doing it with Jack, you were interested. And then we just saw the one near us does a Spanish immersion. And you
We're lucky.
Yeah, you're totally on board. But
we're not moving.
No, we're not moving. Back then, when my aunt first shared that she was sending her kids to it, because I was a little bit older, I think I'm about 10 years difference than his sister, we hadn't heard about it. Like, I hadn't heard about it, my family, most of us. So we were just really curious what the outcome was going to be. And I think that really shows through in the interview. You can kind of see where, I mean, that was my favorite part. And what I really loved about talking with Michael is just how he is such a great guy. He's intelligent, has compassion for others, and is cultured. And I'm not just saying that because he's family. Like, he really is.
I can attest. He's a pretty good young man.
Yeah.
He seems to have his head on his shoulders and doing a lot of good stuff, but, you know, trying to find his way and figure out what he wants to do with his life, but definitely has a lot of competencies, right? He has a lot of skills and things that he can offer. So
absolutely. And his parents really made, my aunt and uncle really made travel a big priority growing up. And so they were exposed to a lot of places. They went to a lot of Spanish-speaking countries. And he's actually, Michael's getting ready to embark on a trip this fall to South America, where he plans to use his Spanish as well as get back into practicing some more. Because in college, you know, he's has a pretty hefty load already that he's not doing a Spanish class. And so I'm excited to maybe have him invite him back on and hear about it after his trip.
Maybe we'll join him.
I think we should. Yeah. If we can swing that, we are definitely going down to South America. Michael, I forgot to tell you that, but we're coming to see you. So here it is, my interview with Michael Field, a product of Spanish Immersion Program. See you right back here after the interview. Enjoy. How are you, Michael?
Good.
How are good, you? Good. So we're here in Portland for a family reunion.
Yep.
And I was super excited to talk to you because growing up, you had, I'd say Spanish was a big part of your life, right?
It was, yeah.
So your immersion program in school, what else did you have? You had Latin American travel, Spain travel, and exchange student?
Yeah, we've had a few exchange students.
So that's, I was really excited to bring you on for that whole experience because raising my son bilingual, that's kind of the journey we're looking for, looking in the future, and getting to hear a real life story from someone I thought was really awesome. So you're in college right now, right?
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be a junior this coming year.
Junior. And you're on break because it's summer.
It's summer, yeah.
What's kind of your next plan? Are you're going into junior year coming up?
I'm going into junior year. I'm actually taking a semester off to travel South America.
Oh, I love
for
that.
A semester as kind of a pseudo study abroad.
Perfect.
But then I'll finish up my 2 years at college and be ready for whatever comes
next. Whatever's after.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So growing up, you grew up in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And you were in, your parents enrolled you into an immersion school, right? I mean, what age did you start that?
Right. So they actually enrolled my sister into a Spanish immersion program at 5 years old. They kind of looked around Portland and we looked at my neighborhood school and we looked elsewhere and they decided this school was going to be the best for Lauren, my sister. And
she's 2 years older?
She's 2 years older, yeah. So after enrolling her, we were able to automatically enroll the younger sibling, which was me. So I was fortunate enough to be able to step into that just based on having an older sibling in the program.
And it's, you go through the day, and like at 5 years old, which would be kindergarten, mm-hmm. right? How did the day kind of work out? Like, how did they enter you into an immersion school? And your immersion was Spanish and English.
Right. So they signed us up, and a typical day we were divided. It was about 50 students per grade and divided into two classes of 25. And one class would start with Spanish in the morning. So you walk in and the teacher is playing Spanish music or singing a song, getting to ready to read us a book. But the other class started in English. So just it kind of depended based on chance. And then halfway through the year, you switch morning versus afternoon, Spanish and English. So they like to mix it up. But I would usually walk in. I had Senorita Figueroa was my kindergarten teacher. So we'd walk in and start speaking Spanish. Obviously, when you start out, you're more listening and absorbing. I think the first year, 2 years for most students was most of that listening and absorbing basic words.
Yeah, it's less homework, right. You'd say.
There's no, well, I mean, we're so young, we're not really doing homework. I think
games and
yeah. I remember in third grade we had our first homework assignments in math, and that was a bit of a shock.
Yeah.
But yeah, games and music and books, story time. We'd have, you know, who knows this word, and raise our hands.
Did
and
you like
in Spanish.
At 5 and 6? Did you already know? Did you remember any of those memories back then? And did you kind of know you were learning two different languages, or like when you came home, did you speak Spanish?
When I came home, I would always speak English because my parents did, but my mom would occasionally, you know, they have, my mom and dad have basic Spanish, hola, ¿cómo estás? Yeah. That kind of thing. So they would try to kind of keep up with us sometimes. But I knew, you know, the teachers would go through, it was a kind of an arduous process of learning different words. The vocabulary was the main thing they focused on, really building up our vocabulary and our comprehension first. So we'd work on everyday words, words that had to do with school. We did all of our math and science in Spanish.
Wow.
From kinder to fifth grade. So
wow.
We were doing all of that. So that was a great way to use practical Spanish and kind of learn throughout the day and just by conversing and learning these skills that
did they have
be in English.
Did they have roles in class, like talking to other students? Did it have to all be in Spanish at that time?
At that time, no.
Okay.
It was all English, pretty much. We responded a lot of the time in English. We try our best, I think, later in the year and into first and second grade to respond in Spanish. But most of the time, it was English coming from us and Spanish coming from the teacher with broken English mixed
with that
in.
Absorption going
yeah.
on, you said, at
yeah.
that stage. And then when did you really notice the program switch? Was that more towards third grade?
Switch in terms of what?
Like the 50% of the day, did it, they start adding yeah. more later?
No, so it was 50% of the day all the way up until we started middle school,
wow.
at which point my elementary school combined with a bunch of other elementary schools funnel into my middle school, and I would say a third of our day was in Spanish. So we'd have a few periods, you know, as middle school you have periods, would be in Spanish, and then the rest of them in English. So we stopped learning science and math in Spanish once we hit middle school. So we
just
did,
to get more of a, and did you finish an immersion program all the way through 12th grade?
All the way through, yeah.
Wow. And so you didn't really actually have a language class?
No. So I never had a language requirement going into high school, but it, you know, as we got older, it reduced to one period a day in high school would be our Spanish class, but it was with the same students that I'd been with since kindergarten, with a few additions and subtractions, of course, as people come and go. Yeah. But it was great to stay with those students and learn Spanish and develop. And it's really cool. You know, you start with the same group of people and end
yeah.
with the same group of people.
No, that it sounds amazing. And going through, because you probably were with a lot of the students you went to school with, did you ever know that you were in a school that was a different kind of a style of learning and program? Did you really, were you exposed to that through outside, I guess, sports maybe or something
yeah,
like that?
Definitely. So one of the greatest parts about Spanish immersion for me was I came from outside the neighborhood.
Okay.
Of the school, because it drew from all over Portland, all over the Portland Public School District. So I was raised in a different neighborhood school district and was driving to school every day. And so I noticed pretty quickly that there were, you know, that we were a little bit different in terms of
your learning style.
Learning
what
style.
You knew.
Yeah. Than the kids on my neighborhood soccer team or neighborhood baseball team. And also from even other students in the school. So the school wasn't only an immersion school. That was a program there, but it also took the neighborhood students
And they did just English portion of it, not an immersion. Yeah. Did you find that having your sister in the program was helpful?
It was. Yeah, really? Definitely. Both in having the same experiences, knowing what to expect, but also, you know, as we got older, having someone to converse with or to travel with.
Did you try at home? Like, what, I mean, you said a little bit about your parents, but like, what was their role? Obviously, they felt it was a really important to have you learn Spanish, but did they kind of use it at home or for, I don't even want to say force, but yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think pretty quickly we surpassed, you know, I don't remember at the point when this happened. Obviously I was a little bit younger, but we surpassed my parents' level of Spanish.
That's my fear with Jack. He's going to like be so quick.
Yeah. You just got to keep up. I mean, my parents of course led busy lives, and I think my mom tried a couple times to learn Spanish throughout the years, but it's hard.
It's that challenge later.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Don't you feel like you learned it so much easier? Like,
yeah, because I you know, I don't remember the exact moment where I started speaking back in Spanish, or I started just, you know, knowing the words to this, or knowing how to add and subtract in Spanish.
Right.
Because growing up learning it.
Would you say there was any challenges?
There definitely were some challenges. I think most of those were apparent upon hitting middle school.
Mm.
So the very academic courses.
English like and stuff?
English. We still were in an English class with our other Spanish immersion friends. So we had that same experience, but really math and science.
You were mixed in with now the students that didn't go through immersion. Through.
In math and science. We had our own English class because they knew that was a big adjustment. But in math and science, we had our own. In math and science, we were mixed in with all the students who had taken math and English for 6 years. And that was a little bit of an adjustment period. I think it was an adjustment to mostly just vocabulary in math. You know, sometimes you'd be like, oh, I don't know what science, of course, in elementary school is pretty limited. But math, you know, how do I say multiply, divide, those kind of things that really come naturally at that point.
That maybe would have been that challenge. Yeah. And around that time, it was middle school when you first had your parents signed up for, or not even signed up, but your grandma had been a really big catalyst for traveling, right?
Right.
I think Latin America was kind of first. And then how did Spain come into the picture, and how did you had an exchange student, right? Mm-hmm. Was your first one from Spain?
It was, yeah. So
how did that come into the picture?
I'll give you a little bit of an abbreviated version because it's a really long story, but my grandma actually went over to Spain with a program through Daimler Chrysler that was to educate their employees on English. So she just sat with an employee for a few hours a day and they just spoke English and conversed.
Oh, that's
kind of an interesting program.
Yeah.
But one of the things that came up was that employee's daughters had been learning English as well. And of course my grandma had us learning Spanish. Yeah. And so they made that connection and a couple quick emails and
you almost did your own exchange program without the program.
Right.
Okay.
Some blind faith included in it. Yeah. And trusting that my grandma.
They came here first.
Yeah. So we had their daughter, who I think was around 16 at the time, middle child, came here. And then Lauren, who was 12, super young at the time, she was still in middle school, went over there for the summer. I think she was going into seventh grade. Spent a month of the summer living with them. They were a family of three girls and a mom and a dad, and had a phenomenal time. They lived right in the heart of Madrid, so she got to check out Madrid.
And she knew Spanish.
Yeah.
Like you,
and she
your
was
parents
every day.
Probably felt comfortable sending her, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And she was very independent from a young age, so she was really good at
that. I know her. She's my family, so yes, I agree.
Yeah. Of course. She was ready to go, absolutely. Yeah. And she knew Spanish, and we really made a commitment to their kid to speak only English
here in the States,
and they would speak only Spanish to Lauren. And I think that we really stuck to that, and so did they. And you know, after not even a week, you're already thinking in Spanish, and you're ready to, you know, someone asks you a question, you're not translating through your mind. And that's something I still do when I haven't been around Spanish a lot. Is
do you feel like you're still switching it sometimes?
Occasionally, yeah, when I'm, you know, a little bit out of practice. But after, I mean, now it's, you know, spending a couple days speaking Spanish to someone and you're right back in. Yeah, you fall back into it.
Yeah, we've talked about that a little bit, how what we've kind of read and know from someone learning at a very young age is they'll actually comprehend the language. Mm-hmm. Whereas Ben and I, we always are going to be translating. Because English is our first language. That's what we know the most. We and language just being such a different right. language from Spanish. Do you feel like that, right? Like learning
from it takes a little bit to unlearn mm-hmm. the translation.
And for you tend to know Spanish a little bit more than maybe like how me and Ben translated.
Right. And when I hear it, there's no translation happening. Oh, and that amazing. Has never happened, I think, since I can remember.
You're a junior in college now. So what is your kind of, would you define your fluency at this point? Do you feel?
I would say I'm comprehending fluently and speaking fluently with a lot of grammatical errors.
And it's just forgetting some of those words, right?
And vocabulary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know people even who, you know, way later in their years were full native speakers in Spanish and forget just when you don't use it every day.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly like how it goes, right?
Yeah.
And then when did you end up going? So your sister started with that.
So she went when she was 12. I think I waited, of course, would have been 2 years, but I think I waited an extra year half a year.
So you were like 11?
So 11? I was, no, 13, oh, I think. 13, so okay. the 2 years to catch up to her age. And then the first time I went was during the school year.
Wow.
During my eighth grade year.
I 13 went, years old, yeah. traveling to Spain.
To Spain and attending school there.
You traveled a lot. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like at this point, your parents had really exposed you to a lot. But was there any fear or do you...
Oh, absolutely. Really? I was, you know, not even out of middle school yet. And I think more than traveling, I was very comfortable traveling. It was living independently or without my parents.
Without your parents there, without your sister there.
Right. And so, my parents had done a good job, I think. At that age, we've been very fortunate. We've been to Italy and Africa.
They exposed Mexico. You enough.
Yeah, enough. The culture shock wasn't there.
Yeah.
It was the being alone. But I think the family I was with, so we actually, since they're a little bit more traditional, they had three girls and I was a boy. They didn't feel quite as comfortable having a boy over there. And I think my parents knew too. It would have been a little bit awkward. Especially, you know, middle school
so
boy.
So they put you in touch with a different family.
Family, yeah. And that was Edu and Jaime. Okay. And their father, Eduardo and Conchita. And that was just phenomenal. That was the first of three times I went. The first was in November, so I was there for the school year. I got to see Real Madrid games and travel around Spain.
And at this point, you're using spanish
100% of the time.
100%.
Yeah, none of the kids.
So we should talk about this, your accent then.
Yeah.
So for people that don't know, the accent, there's kind of two main accents, I would say, right? Like Latin America and then I think Spain because of the lisp and everything. So do you feel like you have one accent more than another?
You know, I think I tend to drift towards the Spanish accent, but that might have been more of a conscious choice. After that,
just because, being there and being kind of fitting in.
Yeah. And I think it varies based on who I'm talking to. I think when I'm talking to other people who learn Spanish as a second language, there's less of an accent and more of an American accent.
Totally.
An American
right.
touch on it.
When you were learning in school, then your teachers were native Spanish speakers?
Not all the time.
Oh.
So we had a lot of native speaking instructors, but a lot of the times they were, you know, just had learned it, had lived somewhere that spoke Spanish. So it went back and forth.
Did they teach you, what Spanish did they teach you?
It was all different.
Oh, was
yeah.
It?
Every
That's...
year was different. So That's I had neat. One that was non-native, but had studied in Mexico, one from Venezuela, one from Cuba, but had Russian mixed in there. That was the most interesting one,
That's
I think.
Interesting.
Yeah. He spoke Russian and English and Spanish, and it was a really interesting dialect.
You probably learned from really young that language wasn't just simple English. Right. Like you probably really learned, which I think some of us that didn't go through programs like that, I know for me, language, I really felt like in America, English was the language. And I think that's why it's so important for us to teach mm-hmm. Jack Spanish, because now we're seeing that English is not the only language in America, especially.
Yeah.
So I think knowing that Russian, Spanish, all those, and seeing that is really exposure.
I agree. And I think there's one point where I remember, you know, I really felt that growing up, but I remember when George W. Bush declared or, you know, instated in some way that English was to be our national language, that I was kind of shocked by that, by the fact that, well, one, that it wasn't already, but more than that, I felt like, you know, the United States was more of a
almost a melting pot.
Yeah, a melting pot. And so it was kind of a shock to be like, oh, well,
we're just English.
If this wasn't already, you know, part of our history, then we're making so now. And I, you know,
you kind of almost didn't agree.
No, I wasn't on board with that. But yeah, I mean, growing up speaking two languages a year, I don't feel like, I mean, I feel like English is my first language, obviously, but I don't feel like it's the only part of the way I was raised.
Yeah. And do you think it opened up kind of other things? Obviously, the immersion program, the exchange program going to Madrid, mm-hmm. like just experiences that maybe you wouldn't have had if you didn't know Spanish right away.
I remember one of our professors always would talk about how 500 million people in the world speak Spanish. And so it's important to know another language because it opens you up to mm-hmm. this, and it really has.
Making the friends. I mean, is like you probably meet people even now, right? That you make friends in just because.
Even in college, you know, we have plenty of international students and people with different backgrounds who either Spanish was their first language or they grew up with it in their household. And so being able to have someone over and just be like, hey, you speak Spanish too. Yeah. Let's chat.
It's good, like, when you're on a date, too. You're like, oh, I know Spanish, right?
Actually, funny story. Went on a date with a girl who Spanish was her first language.
See?
And it clicked right there.
You're like the smooth talker. Yeah. You're like, I got this.
No, she made fun of me a lot for my Spanish.
Did you have very local words and phrases that you were able to adapt when you traveled? Like, do you feel like you've had some slang kind
of? I feel like my time in Spain, I learned a lot of slang there, especially because going to what was middle school for me, the students used a lot of slang, a lot of bad language.
It's not super proper at all, like what you would learn in school.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've forgotten a lot of those, to be honest.
Really?
But yeah, a lot of those kind of, you know, aren't things that I retain, but there's a lot of slang, a lot of, you know, this is how kids talk, just back and forth. And
yeah, so would you say you appreciate that your parents made this decision to put you? Yeah,
absolutely.
It's made it kind of easier.
But it's also hard to imagine my life not having
it's been such a huge
Spanish
part of your life since you were five,
right?
Yeah. Has it sparked your parents to want to learn?
I think
anymore?
It did while we were learning, but unfortunately
they would hear
it didn't.
You guys
they would hear
talk.
Us yeah or see presentations, you know, we recorded presentations at school.
They
and
were
I
so
think,
impressed and they wanted to know what you were saying.
Yeah. I think my mom especially, my dad kind of had some college Spanish, can converse a little bit words here and there, but my mom really wanted to learn and just found it time consuming and difficult in general. So
finding that time, right? So your trip this fall, is it this fall?
Yeah.
You kind of decided to do a, what would you say? Like a kind of a, I don't know, you were saying it was like a study abroad, kind of on your own.
It's a self-directed study abroad. So there's really no studying happening, but some travel.
Culture.
Yeah, culture. And I think the reason I chose it was being able to speak the Spanish. And I don't think I would have had that same cultural experience.
And a different Spanish, because you've spent so much time in Spain, right? And so did you kind of think of South America as like...
I mean, there's a million places to go in this world, and there's a million places I do want to see. I thought about Asia or Australia, New Zealand. But my main barriers were I wanted to live there more than just be a tourist. And I feel, you know, I don't know yet. I'll talk to you hopefully when I come home.
Yes. What are kind of your plans? And like, can you share just a little glimpse of what you're thinking?
My main goal is boots on the ground and to be as close to living in wherever place I am as possible. So I'm flying into Bogota. And
that's where our Spanish teacher's from.
Yeah. Ben's going to hook me up.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, he's going to introduce me.
Yeah. We have aspirations to go down there for that reason.
Yeah. He's been telling me his brother went there and Medellin is beautiful. So I'm going to definitely check that out.
Did you brush up on any, like, have you felt like you needed to brush up on any Spanish or, cause you said your fluency, you definitely understand people, but you just, the vocab's a little.
Right. And, you know, I haven't felt the need to brush up, but maybe I will once I'm there.
Right.
And hindsight will be 2020.
It's funny because you said it might just come back really.
I think, and you know, I think that's how it happened in Spain. Once I got talking with people, and of course they forced me to because I was living with them.
Yeah.
You know, do you want breakfast? Come up here. Come upstairs. Like, wake up. The mom treated me just like one of her sons. So
clean up your room.
Yeah, exactly. So it was, you know, with a little bit more care than she would, you know, call Edu or Jaime, but it brought it back real quick. So I think the prerogative is on me to reach out to people there to start conversations on the street or in, you know, cafes. and get the ball rolling that way, and then hopefully fall back into it.
And the trip's kind of, you're starting out solo, right? I mean, obviously you'll have some, invite some people down to visit you, but that's kind of the other part of it, right?
Right. So I have done a little bit of solo traveling, but this will definitely be my biggest expedition to date. So that's, you know, that's a big step for me, I think. But having that Spanish and being able to fall back on, I do know some of the culture and history, you know, although academic and not experienced.
Right.
It'll be interesting to jump into that.
Yeah. And at this point, you almost can't even picture your life without knowing Spanish. So,
Well, you know, how many things do you really remember from when you're 5, 6, and 7? And so I don't remember a point where I, you know, started speaking it or when I started fully comprehending, and it just happened.
It was so fluid and natural. Yeah. I really appreciate you talking this. I've definitely bragged about having cousins that went through an immersion program, and it was a big turning point for me. I remember hearing a lot about it and being so curious, and now I see immersion programs popping up a lot.
All over the place.
Right? Like, you've seen it for German and French, and I mean, most of the schools are at no extra cost.
Right.
And it kind of is just like, why not? And hearing from someone who I consider you very well educated and put together, you know, and so I think it's really inspiring, and it makes me look forward to putting him through a program and seeing that it's not doing any harm, you know, to really expose him and expand his lifestyle to seeing there's other cultures and people out there and languages to learn. So I would love to bring you back after your trip.
Absolutely.
I hope that it's kind of all you expect it to be, and I'd love to hear how kind of Spanish plays out down there for you. Do you do that little break you've had being in college for 2 years, probably not using it as much?
Not at all. Almost.
Right? Not as all.
So
there's all those years where you don't use it, right?
Right. And I'm hoping that I fall right back into it. So that's
perfect. Okay, so when we can expect to see you back at the beginning of the new year?
Yep, winter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on. Okay, talk to you soon.
Bye.
Hey guys, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that interview with my cousin Michael. What'd you think, Ben?
That was awesome. You know, my first time hearing it. So we got some questions for you. I thought it would be kind of follow up. Some of the really interesting things he said there were about how he doesn't remember when he actually started speaking and understanding, and how it just, you know, to him, it's like, just when I was a kid, it happened. Like, it didn't really.
Yeah. There was like no date. It clicked to him, which I thought was really cool. Like, he remembers going through everything, but he doesn't really, like, it wasn't like all of a sudden one day that was so hard and it happened. He said it was just a really gradual progression.
Yeah. And whereas compared to us, it's like, hey, I remember this specific trip we went on. I remember this specific thing.
I remember knowing nothing and then knowing a little bit.
right.
Yeah.
And then, of course, hearing how he quickly surpassed his parents, it makes me nervous.
I know. I know my poor aunt, because I know she probably had the dreams and the goals to really learn. But we know, and we share with everyone on here, and a lot of our listeners have shared, like, it's hard to really make it a priority. It's hard to make raising kids, putting them first and everything, and then your jobs. And
you know, it's one of those things where it's like a lot of things in your life. When you want to affect change, you have to change your environment. You can't keep doing the same things and just try to add on something else and think it'll happen. Spanish, learning a second language, Spanish or otherwise, is an incredible undertaking. It's one that I think that is very worthwhile. I think it helps your brain develop in new ways and help you actually be smarter, not just because you know a new language, but because your brain's able to process information in a new way. But in order to really, really do it, it's not just an app on your phone that you play while you're on the bathroom. It's, you know, a lot deeper than that. And so I could fully understand how if you had, you know, full-time jobs and putting two kids through college and all that stuff, like, there's just no way that you could actually make the time to become fluent, you know, or to keep up. Doesn't mean you couldn't come to some level of proficiency, but to go to that deep level, of course, you know, and even as alternative of a lifestyle as we live, where we're both self-employed and everything, and we can make the time to do this, Jack is still going to pass us up, you know.
Right.
We would have to move to a Spanish-speaking country today, you know, and do nothing but Spanish for the next couple years.
Well, I think that's the encouraging part, too, and why I was really interested in talking to him, because exactly, like, without his parents being fluent in it, it's nice to see that it can happen if you really take those extra steps and find the programs, the situations. Like, they really, his parents, my aunt and uncle, really found a lot of ways to make that a priority for their mm-hmm. kids. So it wasn't just, okay, we'll enroll you in school and call it a day.
Right.
They had to make sure they traveled to places where they could use it. They had, you know, they put sister through it.
It's a much deeper thing than just reading out of a book or anything else. Or
just,
you know?
Enrolling. Because I think, you know, just even enrolling them in a program, like...
Not totally analogous, but it's almost like, you know, I'd been studying flamenco guitar in a school here, in doing so, we go to Spain and I start playing flamenco with some guys there, and it's instantly like, oh, this guy's book smart, but he doesn't actually get it, you know? So it's kind of the same thing, right? Like, you can learn all the grammar and the vocab, but until you're actually immersed in it and speaking it, it's a totally different ballgame, right? Really, there's like the academic versus the experiential learning that takes place. So like a lot of things. Yeah. And some of the other things he said that I thought were interesting was how there's lots of slang in Spain, which I guess I didn't expect. You know, I think a lot of people think of it as very proper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in English, we would make it similar to, say, like what they speak in England, like British style English,
mm-hmm.
which I guess, there is a lot of slang as well.
Well, always slang or just different words. You know, it might not even be slang. It might just be a way that we don't use it
here. Yeah, that's true. It's not necessarily like... bad words
I don't think he meant slang by bad words. I think he meant it by like casual.
Although, I don't know, middle school boys, I'm guessing there were some bad words. We'll have to follow up on that.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, anything else you had?
It's inspiring to hear his story and how it's ingrained in him. It's a part of his life. He couldn't imagine it otherwise. And, you know, it just makes me as a new parent excited to see what Jack's life is going to be like as he... you know, grows up knowing two languages, and hopefully to him, it's not a conscious thing. It's just like, oh yeah, I just as a kid, I learned it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why, I just did. Right.
Right. And in a lot of the things I research as raising a kid bilingual, there's all the talk to the parents, you know, it's always like, this is what you do. This is how I do it. Here's my story of raising my kid. Da-da-da. And so the thing that I liked was talking to someone who went through it.
Yeah. It's almost like you can peek into the future.
Right. You can peek into the future and you can see, like, what do you think? Do you think your parents were crazy for doing that to you? And you really had nothing.
There's a lot of cases like that where parents kind of force their kids to do something.
Right.
Like, you know, Tiger Woods' dad or something like that, where it's like, obviously that worked out for him. But, but you know, point being, like, you know, and then the kids get a bit older and they hate their parents because of it.
Right.
Maybe they don't hate them entirely, but they're like, man, I hate that he made me play golf or play piano since I was mm-hmm. a kid, and I never wanted to do it. And you know, it's like this grudge you have against them. And so it's glad to hear that this wasn't that kind of thing, you know?
No, not at all. He was very grateful and really sees it as a benefit to everything else going forward,
yeah.
and whether it's travel or in college or going on dates or all of the above.
Yeah, we'll have to hear more about that some other time.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys here on the next episode.
Nos vemos el próximo episodio.
Ciao.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.